I think what the enemy does, and you guys have seen this, especially in church world, is one of his goals is to create division. He hates what you have.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hates it. And he does that in the world. He does that in the church so much.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes. Us being honest with each other, humble before one another, and honoring one another, I don't think hell can do anything with it. Because where can he get in?
Okay, so we're breaking new ground at Family Life today. I don't know if you guys know this. I don't think we've ever done three on the couch.
Oh, yeah, this is the
four
most,
off the couch. I don't. What do you call this?
Three on the couch, four off.
It could be like a new game.
This is a new day for us. Wow. It's sort of weird having three people. I mean, you're over here like our son. I don't know what's happening.
I'll take it.
Are you trying to stay away from that?
I'll take it.
Me too.
I will take it.
I like
what
it.
What time is dinner?
And why am I the only guy without a hat on?
Yeah, that's a problem. That's a problem. We gotta bring one next time.
But you got shoe game, though.
I got shoe game.
Yeah, you got shoe game.
Oh, snap. You do it.
Get those on eBay, baby.
Always.
Those were painted by some woman on eBay. Anyway. Tell our listeners, and really, if you're just a listener, I hope you're a watcher.
Yeah.
Watching this on YouTube.
Yeah.
Who you guys are, how you're connected. I mean, we know you, but they don't know you. So we'll start over here and go come around.
Yeah.
Philly.
Yeah, definitely Philly. Ike Todd, born and raised in North Philly.
Wait. Why aren't you wearing an Eagles hat right now?
Never.
Never. You won the Super Bowl.
He's a very confused individual.
Listen, just he's a very confused individual. Philly except Eagles.
Really? Why?
Niners in football.
Yeah.
Niners?
What?
Yes, sir.
Why not the Eagles?
Yeah.
Because they didn't have Jerry Rice. No, it's nothing like Niners. I mean, Eagles fans, and I can't stand them.
I know. So,
but yeah, I can't front, like, I was kind of proud for the city.
Secretly.
Oh, yeah. Like my dad, he's getting older, so I want him to get some Super Bowls under his belt.
I will say, Eagles fans, if you're in Philly, I'm not ripping on you, but they're pretty nasty.
They're passionate.
No.
I was on the sideline with the Lions for all these years. We go to Philly. I remember one time standing beside our head coach, Rod Marinelli, and I go, hey, coach. Like 2 minutes before game, I just feel so good. We're going to blow them out. He goes, you're right. We got beat like 50-3. It's unbelievable. And they were throwing stuff at us from the stands.
Yeah.
It's scary in Philly.
No, it's real. It's real. Yeah.
I mean, anyway, we never even got to know. We don't know anything about you except Philly. Come on, tell us.
Well, that's pretty much it. I mean, the best thing about me is that I'm Adia Nisi's husband.
Ooh, that's a good one.
You've been racking them points up this week.
I've been doing good.
He's been doing good.
How many years have you been married?
Eight? Or is it nine?
No, eight.
No. Because next year we were just talking about.
Wait, you guys don't know how it's long nine. You've been married?
It's nine.
It's nine.
It is nine.
It's nine.
It is nine. You've been married for 9 years.
I love listening to Family Life today.
We can help you. That you got to get right.
We was literally just talking about how we will celebrate our 10th anniversary.
Yeah, next year will be 10. Yeah.
What's your anniversary? I'm putting him to the test.
March 12th.
Yes.
Yeah,
just celebrated.
Yeah. You just had it.
Yeah, we did. It right
you
now,
just
too.
Had it and you can't remember the number?
Listen, we just had a baby. We don't remember a lot.
We just had a baby and they threw everything off.
We'll give you grace.
Nothing
for
else
that.
Matters right now.
At all.
My little mama.
We actually missing her right now because this is the first time she's staying over grandma's overnight.
Is this your first baby?
Yes, it's our first baby.
How old is she?
She is
10 months.
She's going to be 10
they
months.
They don't even know how old their baby is.
She is going to be 10 months on the 29th. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
She'll be 10 months on the 29th. Yes.
That's fun.
Hello, Lily.
So, where was I? Born and raised in Philly?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
And you just said the best part of your life.
That
right
is the best
ACs.
Part. Yes. Yeah. So, when it comes to the baby, we were... struggling with infertility for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a huge deal.
Yeah.
And that's why nothing else matters right now to us. That's why we just all over the place because we just in love with our daughter. So
yeah.
Your 6 month, 8 month, 9 month, 10 month daughter, whatever she is. Somewhere
in there. But that's really sweet. That's a big reason to celebrate. Yeah, you've waited a while.
For sure.
So, where did you grow up and how did you guys meet?
Yes. It's a great story. It's a really great story. So I actually grew up, I was born in Puerto Rico, Dominican parents, raised pretty much in Tampa, Florida, until I was 17. And then at 17, my dad got called to open up a church in Brandon. So we've been, I've been church planting all my life. Since 17 years old, we planted the church CLS in Brandon. Cristo La Senda. But then I met my husband through Instagram.
What?
Yeah. Really? So see what had happened was, see, let me explain.
Yeah, we got to know. Does he have like Instagram game? What's going on? Is he a big influencer?
He's nice with it and I'm super clumsy and very, we don't know how because we have no mutuals. We don't know. It's God. That's the only thing that we can say. It was the Lord. Somehow, like, I found his page or he found my, I can't remember how. But basically what happened was is that I went onto his page and he just loves Jesus so much that his whole page was just like theology. And at that time, I was so starved for it. And like, I was going through his page and I had went deep, guys, like really deep, but I forgot that I was on his page. And so then I just started liking a bunch of stuff like, amen. Yeah. Yes. Piper, whoever. Yes. All of these people. Yes. All these people. So I was like, well, maybe, I don't know. Yeah. It was people that were like amazing. And then couple of minutes later, I get a notification on my Instagram that he had screenshotted all of my likes and said, shout out to Arianisis for all the love. And I was mortified. Trágame tierra.
All her likes, it was no pictures of me. It was just like quotes and stuff.
It was quotes and stuff. I forgot that I was on his page.
Wait, I want to get Ike's perspective of what he was thinking. Did you check her out?
Yeah, I did. So I went back to on her page and start clicking likes, but it was pictures of her.
Yeah.
So she was just clicking pictures of quotes and stuff. I was liking pictures of her. Yeah.
It's very clear. Very, very clear.
You might be the first couple I've ever met that way. I mean, there's probably hundreds of thousands.
No, there's a bunch of Lions couples that did.
Well, I don't know. They don't tell me.
But who reached out to who first?
I think I reached out to him in the sense I was like, I promise you I'm not a stalker. I'm so sorry. And then he had made a post about praying for somebody. Yeah. And so I had commented like, we're praying or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then
it was a bunch of people actually praying for this one girl, someone who was like into Hebrew Israelite stuff. So everybody was praying for her and we was a part of that group praying for her.
Yeah.
So then in the comments, it was just people making just a discussion.
Yeah.
And then at some point, we took our discussion to the DM.
Oh! Yes, that did happen. Yes, that did happen.
Let me ask you, Isis, when you started to get to know Ike, got married to him, was he the real deal? Like, did his page truly reflect who he was
100%.
Spiritually?
Oh, 100%. We were long distance for the majority of our relationship. And so I think we spent maybe a total of 3 weeks within the same physical space before we got married. And it was because he led me. Wow. Like, that was the main thing. I remember the first time that I knew that this was, like, from the Lord was because he had kind of professed that he wanted to pursue me and that he wanted to court me, if, like the very Christian word, like court me. But he wouldn't have used that word. But I had felt in my spirit that the Lord was telling me that I needed to like stop talking to dudes. I just needed to hide myself in him. And so I was like, so I sent him a text message and I was like, listen, which is what I always do. I over-explain. You don't really like me. You just like the idea of me. You don't really know me. Like, I feel like, you know, I just want to. And so I was giving him all these reasons as to, like, why not to be in a relationship with me or why this isn't right. And he texts me back, like, hey, that's fine, but can I call you tomorrow? And in my mind, I was like, okay, here he goes. He's going to try to persuade me. He's going to try to convince me. And so I was preparing myself to like be like bold and to be convicting and say no. And when he called me, he was like, yeah, yeah, that's cool. You don't have to like date me. But I just want you to know, like, you don't have to give me a reason. Your no is enough. And ooh. he pretty much corrected me in a sense, like just protectiveness. And in my mind, I was just waiting for him to stop talking so I could tell him off. Like, who do you think you are to tell me what I can and cannot do? And as soon as I went to open my mouth, I heard the Holy Spirit tell me, stop talking and submit. And when I felt that, I don't submit to any other man except for my dad, like at that point, like as my pastor and as my father. And so to feel that in my heart, like, you know, you need to stop talking and submit to this was, oh, okay.
Wow. Mm.
So then after that, it's just been a life of that, of joy.
Submission.
Yeah, of joy, submission, protection, covering, leadership. Like it's
been. I like that you put those words along with those.
Yeah, it's been amazing. Yeah.
Okay, guys. First couple on the couch.
Yeah. Recap, Gray. This is Brittany. I don't know how to do this, John. But yeah, this is Brittany, my beautiful wife.
How many years?
We will be 16 this year. Am I tripping on that?
No, you're right.
Yeah. 16 years this year.
In August.
And, been the ride of our lives for real, for real, for real. We got 4 kids. Aaron, Zipporah, Jonathan, Hadassah, 15, 14, 5, and 4.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everyone had holidays, so. Yeah. We met. So, part of our story, too, and I can share a lot more about his whole background musically, but I met Ike when he came back to Philly because he left for, how long was you in L.A.?
2 years.
2 years. Mm-hmm. So I met him when he came back to Philly. He started coming to the church that I was a part of, and it was actually Adianisis, who I learned later had pointed him to go to that church. Am I right about that?
No, I just want
to become a member.
To become a member.
She was
pushing, pushing him to become a member.
Doesn't sound very submissive.
I was a helper.
Yes.
There you go.
We still been
right. I'm so glad she did, though, because he locked in on a small group I was in. It had to be early 2015 when me and Ike really locked in, which, jeez, that's like 10 years. But long story short on that, so like, we was already, I guess, like on staff at the church there. Mm-hmm. And me and him locked in, and like, it just, I don't know, there's certain people you meet where you just like know. It's funny, actually, when I first day I met him, I ain't like him because I knew he was into hip hop. And I had like some, not because I'm a hip hop head, love hip hop, but Christian hip hop, I just had some like stuff with it. You know what I mean? It's a long story with that. But when I first met him, it was like, I don't bang with musicians like that no more. But it was like, I don't know, a few weeks later, he was saying something in the group, and I was sharing that I was about to preach, and he just was like, yo, I know you're about to preach. What does that look like? So I was like, well, meet me here, and let's talk about it. And ever since.
That ain't exactly.
Nah, I ain't saying like that.
I said, he asked for prayer because he was about to preach that coming Sunday. So this was Wednesday. We was at a small group. He asked for prayer. Saturday morning was a men's Bible study. Hey, you mentioned, you know, you needed prayer because you're preaching this weekend. When you get a chance, I love to know just what's involved in that. What was going on? You seemed like you were struggling through some things. What is that like to prepare a sermon? And he said, why? I'm like, I just curious. I just want to know. And he was like, Yeah, but why? I just want to know.
That sounds very,
very, very yeah. Like, but why? No context. Curious. But why? Yeah. You don't know if it's good or bad. Like if you're in trouble, it's and just but why? Like,
I don't want to know about this.
What was that question
about?
What was
the why?
Nobody asks about sermon prep unless you feel called to sermon prep.
Exactly, unless you're like a preacher.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I just thought I was genuinely curious. I just want to know. So then he's just like, what you doing Tuesday? So we start meeting, and that was how we kicked off.
Yeah. I think you genuinely did not think that what you were interested in was abnormal.
I had no idea.
We were the ones that had to say, like, you desire to study theology all day long.
I was going to say, based on your Instagram post,
yeah.
It makes sense. Yeah.
That's real.
But I was just, I got saved in 2011. So I was just fresh, and I thought this was normal. I thought everybody wanted to study the scriptures all day, every day, and talk about theology and all those
things. They should.
And that's what she said. She was like, no, everybody should read the Bible. But you love it. Yeah. So she was like, God is calling you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, he doesn't, like, he didn't get saved in a church. Right. Yeah. He got saved in his apartment watching YouTube. Mm-hmm. So so even him becoming a part of the congregation or become a member was because he didn't grow up in the church. So even that concept was like new to him. So it's like, no, you don't just go, you have to become a member at a church. You should become a member of a church. Mm-hmm. And so that was, so it was a lot of, it was a new world for him. And so that was really cool to walk with him with that.
Man, you know, I hear that and I'm thinking, what if somebody's watching this on YouTube and they come to Christ?
Wow.
I mean, God uses all vehicles. Wow.
For real.
What a story.
Yeah. Let's hear Demetrius. Let's hear your story.
That's going to be part of my trauma later. You know, I get forgotten. I'm just playing.
Well, because you're our adopted son, we don't forget
you. That's what I'm saying. You guys adopted me. But no, I'm Demetrius from Alabama. Yeah. And I kind of share Pastor Ike's sentiments. I think Alabama fans are some of the worst, which is why I don't follow them. But
really? And you're from Alabama?
I know.
I thought had to be.
I know it's seemingly for an Alabamian. No, I'm not a fan of the Crimson Tide.
Nick Saban's not your personal savior or anything?
He's not. And I don't have any statues or relics or anything like that. I was not at the
relics
coronation.
Hey, relics is crazy.
I was not at the coronation when he was driving away from the city. I was at the house. And so I actually met Pastor Recap in 2021, the week that my mom passed away. Mm. Just me being the do what's right rule follower. He was actually preaching at a church that I was serving at, and they wanted the elders to meet him. And so I just went to the church that Sunday. And to be honest, it was like the Lord set it up, because even the way we dressed that day, I needed him to have on the outfit he had on, because we probably wouldn't have talked, which is a whole another side story in another podcast conversation.
I think so.
Can you just tell us, what did he have on?
I remember it was the tennis shoes and the all black, and then all I think I had on all black with an Adidas shoe, and he had a cap. And for me, in that time specifically, in that space, that was important to see someone like me who shared story and history and things like that. And I remember we had one conversation, and when he brought up Fred Hammond, which is one of our favorite gospel artists, I was like, okay, this dude can be a friend. And then after having other conversations, we like to say we had like a conversation that was kind of similar to Mary and Elizabeth, where like our spiritual babies jumped, and I was like, this is going to be an actual brother and a friend. And then through that, I met Ike and Ari and Britt, and the Lord, at a time where I thought that true friendship would not be able to happen again, the Lord was like, no, I got you. And I love these people dearly with my heart.
And you were an elder at the church?
I was an elder at the church.
But were you a worship leader as well? Or were you doing anything musically?
In that season, I was not. I was not the worship leader. I was an elder helping out in different areas.
We all had the same reaction, literally. We all said the same thing.
Wow.
Very confusing time.
It was a confusing time in general for me. Lost my brother 11 months before losing my mom. Mm. Then later that year, would have lost my uncle. Had a church situation that changed that I helped to plant and launch. And so, honestly, I say a lot of times, like, the friendships here were like, was like that voice of resurrection in the middle of, like, a dark time. Mm. And so I just thank the Lord for his faithfulness and not forgetting me.
Yeah. Mm. Part of that, too, is so I met Pastor Meech when it was coming out of our dark season of almost losing our daughter. So we was both like reeling from this past season, like losing his mom the week before.
That's when
we literally met
the week of.
And then ours, it had to be like maybe a couple months after she made it back home.
And your story, you guys, Brittany and Recap, is compelling. We had you on Family Life Today and interviewed you about that. Like, you have walked through some dark, hard things. So, but you guys met in the midst of hard things.
And then, to be honest, all of us were walking through things because they were still
really
in the middle of the
infertility,
desiring, you know, a baby and all of that. And I just think it was different than trauma bonding, because these people still had like such a hold to Jesus. And I think that's the thing that gave us a respect for each other. Like, if a person can suffer well, I know that these are people that I can ride with. And so just to see their faith encourage my faith, and then I would think the same thing as we were all like journeying through hard stuff. And which also made the church plant feel really like, Lord, can you give us at least 5 years? Let us go and get to know each other and all this kind of stuff. And the Lord was like, 2022.
So talk about the church, how you started it.
Yeah, so it wasn't me. It was Pastor Ike. So we was in Des Moines, Iowa. The four of us. Yeah. So
That's a crazy story.
So when we first started locking in, just like, again, it's those relationships that like you can't pry yourself away from. So from that relationship, found out that they was dating, then engaged.
You found out like after we got engaged.
And I was like, oh snap, moving.
He refused to do our
fast.
Wedding.
This is a sacred couch. No.
He invited him multiple times.
I'm believing them right now. What do you mean you wouldn't do it?
So after not receiving an invite,
they gave us our premarital counseling. So let's that's also there. were the one who gave us our premarital counseling.
But that's he wouldn't marry you.
No.
How are you guys going with that side?
Did he marry you?
No.
Okay. I think you're right.
He was like, well, the fuck.
I just let them have this one.
They
say I was at a speaking engagement that the calendar doesn't actually agree with.
I think honestly for me, like I didn't know if we could ask because they were in Philly, and then how do we get them here? How do we, like, we were broke. We couldn't afford it to get married. So, like, how do we get him here? Could we, do we ask? Like, and so there was all of that. And in between that, and because we also weren't having a long engagement. So in between all of that, I think it all got mixed in. And now we really deeply regret the fact that our brother did not marry us. And it's also something that we joke around all
the time. But seriously, like I remember them getting married, and I can genuinely say this, like part of what made them so quickly even closer is because her heart posture coming in. Mm-hmm. It's like me and Ike locked in, but that don't got nothing to do with like the four of us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I'm sure like any listener knows like you can have that relationship with like the dudes is like tight, and then the ladies is like, why do I have to like, you know? Cool. Or it could be vice versa, you know what I mean? Like, but she was so just coming in humble, like just wanting to learn, and it just clicked really quickly. And so by the grace of the Lord, because of that, we started doing ministry together at the church we were at. And then through a crazy series of events, the four of us with our two kids at the time moved all the way out to Iowa together. So we going from Philly, North Philly specifically, all the way out to Iowa together. And and that was tears, laughter, pain, joy, everything mixed in with all of that. And I think when you have those like experiences of leaving, like for me, the only city I've ever loved, it was so tough. I don't think we would have not just thrived. I don't think we would have made it
without
each other.
Oh, 100%. There was no way.
Yeah. It's interesting that you all met through some pain and hard things. Yes. Mm-hmm. When most people, when you struggle and go through pain, a lot of times you isolate and withdraw.
Pull away.
But you didn't. Yeah. Like you all were bonding through some of that.
Yeah.
Do you think what you have is unusual?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
But sad, though. That's sad, though.
Yeah, that's sad. Yeah.
We've learned that it's unusual.
Unusual.
Yeah.
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 Okay, why is it unusual? Why do people not
bond
this
the way you have?
Because we want to help people get what you're talking about.
Everybody wants what you have. Mm. They're not sure how to go about finding it.
I think we just committed to sticking through it.
Yeah. I was going to, we always talk about not leaving the
not
table.
Leaving the table, yeah.
What's that mean?
Don't leave the table.
Yep.
Yeah.
I was going to say this. We argue.
Yes.
And I'm talking about you know what I mean? Like we disagree and we disagree
hard. They do
hard.
Like a sport.
And
they argue like it's a sport.
Yeah. Like it could be the smallest thing to the biggest thing. So he like Jay, I like M. He likes LeBron.
Jay-Z.
Okay,
Eminem.
Thank you.
We knew.
Jordan.
It's in the show.
Y'all Detroit, though, right?
I got you.
Y'all Detroit anyway, so yeah. Y'all got to know him.
We like the bad boys. Yeah. We're Detroit.
Yes.
You know what I mean? We're Dennis Rodman. We're Isaiah.
The one Jordan poo-pooed on later. Yeah.
Okay, keep going. So you're different.
So we argue, and we argue like deeply, but you know, even in front of people, like they could be like, yo, are y'all okay? And we're like, yeah, we getting dinner tonight. But for others it can feel like, yo, like it should make it uneasy if y'all are disagreeing so much. And now it's like, if we don't disagree but we have disagreements, all that is distance, because you're not telling the person that you actually disagree. And in that distance, I think that's where you start to demonize even people that you are supposed to be deep friends with. And so what we've done is just like, yo, let's keep a short record. Say what you gotta say. Say it straight. And if we gotta fight about it, we gonna fight about it, because we know we not leaving the table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that has been, I think, the thing that has kept the five of us, honestly, even starting this church, it was like a lot of arguments, a lot of disagreements. We don't all come from the same church background. We was laughing earlier Pastor Meech comes from deep church background. I thought I was church. Yanisi's is like church, but it's Spanish.
Yeah.
And then Britt,
she knows
church
Carmen.
At all.
Yeah.
That tells you everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think what bonds us is the willingness to go to the table and say, here's what we feeling. Here's how I feel. I don't like this. I do like this. And you know, especially amongst not just different cultures here, but like different genders, that could be very, very challenging and stressful. And here's the word that we all hate: awkward.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times relationships and friendships don't go where they need to go simply because we're afraid of the awkwardness of straightforward disagreement. But if you can make it past the waters, the murky waters of awkwardness and disagreement on the other side of that, all you do is build a closer and closer and closer and closer and closer and more unbreakable bond. So
it's like a marriage.
It is.
You know, you're staying in it no matter what. Yeah. Why do you think people leave the table, generally speaking?
I think there's a lack of trust. I think, like, if Brittany or Recap or Meech do something that I don't, that rubs me the wrong way or might offend me or that I just don't understand, I deeply trust their time with the Lord. And I deeply trust their character. And so when something happens that doesn't match up with that, it's, hey, can you help me understand why, like, why that doesn't match up, or like, help me understand what you were trying to do here or stuff like that. And then because we're coming with a desire to understand as opposed to be understood, or for you to know that you've hurt me, but rather we're always seeking reconciliation, always seeking understanding, always seeking, and we trust each other's characters and times with the Lord, that it makes it possible for us to enter into that. And so like, you know,
we assume the best.
We assume the best. Yeah. And so if you don't, if a relationship doesn't have Jesus at the center of it, if you can't trust each other's times with Jesus, then it's not going to work.
Yeah.
But I trust each and every single person's time with the Lord.
I don't want to oversimplify it, but we do fear God.
Yeah.
And so we have to reconcile. It's not
out of obedience.
Yes. Out of obedience. Yeah. There's no other choice. We have to reconcile.
Yeah.
So that's what we mean by not leaving the table. Like, I can't just harbor bitterness. I have to say this at some point.
Yeah.
Because if not, it's going to turn into some type of sin or something that's going to blow up. So we have to talk about it. We just talking about it in the car. After this, we got to talk.
Yeah.
So it's like we don't not argue. We don't not fight. We don't sweep things under the rug. We deal with it, and then we go and eat.
Yeah.
And that's the food.
A lot of food.
Food has been very instrumental.
Yes, it has.
I'll even say this too: honor.
It's a good word, Meech.
When you honor a person, you don't objectify them. Because what happens is when they become an object to me, I'll kick a ball around. But when I honor them, first off, as being made in the image of the Lord that I fear, I'm looking in the eyes of somebody that the Lord made and he loves. And then we have the fear of the Lord. Then we have like our love and respect for each other. Our respect for their walk with the Lord, all of that kind of stuff makes that gumbo that helps us like really maintain. It's not easy. So we're not sitting up here saying every single thing has been perfect and easy, but we are saying that we have been faithful to like really, we have hard conversations, tough conversations. And because we have that commitment first to the Lord, then to each other, and to the scriptures.
Yeah.
Like, how much scripture like is used between this group of people? I've not had it like that. As a matter of fact, I've had things in the past where it was like, oh, we knew you were going to bring a scripture. These people, we expect it.
You want it.
We want it because we all fear the Lord. Faithful are the wounds of a friend and profuse. I love the CSB, excessive are the kisses of the enemy. And it's like when you're not dealing with yourself before the Lord, when you're not dealing with your insecurities, when you're not dealing with your fears and anxieties that we all bring to the table, you will prefer excessive flattery.
Wow, bro.
Than rebuke. He said faithful are the wounds, but profuse are the kisses of an enemy. And some of us are so carnal that we prefer kisses that are excessive because it makes us feel good than the faithful wounds of a friend. And I have, and for me being the single in the group, friendship has been the thing for me because I don't have a spouse.
Yeah.
So the body of Christ in developing, cultivating friendships has had to be the apex of my community. I'm literally called to be a part of a body. And I think that's something too. Like we're called to be a part of the God saves us And then we're saved into a family. Mm-hmm. And so even for my single friends out there that are listening, it's like, no, we need community. Mm-hmm. I was just reading through the Proverbs, which this morning I was listening through the Proverbs. And it kind of was a funny moment because I had just preached on the genealogy of Jesus. And I was thinking about Solomon and how he started so well, mm-hmm. and then how he ended. And then I'm listening to his wisdom. So mm-hmm. you can know a bunch of stuff and not practice that mm-hmm. which you know. Jesus. And you can end up in ruins. Mm-hmm. But something that he said was like, when you isolate yourself, you're headed toward destruction.
Yeah. Wow. Crazy.
Mm-hmm. It says in Psalm 68 that he places the lonely in family, mm-hmm. but the rebellious are in a sun-scorched land. Yeah. Hmm. And it's like, when you think about that kind of stuff, like, I need people. We need each other. We don't just like each other. We need each other. Mm-hmm. Pastor Ike has a faith and like a sternness. I got to see that while he was praying for a baby. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got to see like a sturdy faith, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Ari, I got to see a lady who was.
Yo, can I even say this real quick? Like, on an area, and I love for her to speak to this. Like, so humility, honesty, honor has been three things that I think every relationship requires.
Mm-hmm. Say it again. Humility.
Humility, honesty, honor.
You're a preacher. Three H's.
Right. You gotta do it.
Yeah.
But I mean, hit it. What do you mean humility?
Yep.
What do you mean honor? You know what's interesting? Do you guys know the root in the Hebrew of honor?
Nah.
The root? Word means bend the knee.
Hmm. Mm.
So the picture is when you honor someone, you are, you know, when you bend the knee to somebody, you're like, I'm in the presence of somebody extremely valuable. Mm-hmm. That's what honor is. It's just, you know, no matter what I'm having a disagreement, even if we're in a fight, it's like, you still are extremely valuable. Mm-hmm. Think about that in your marriage or with your kids. Yeah. But obviously, listen, you guys, I'm like, there it is.
Yep.
Mm. Humility.
Yep.
Go.
Yeah, no, and defined by Philippians chapter 2. Mm. So Paul says, if you want to complete my joy, have the same mind, the same love, being full accord and of one mind. He says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others as more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. And then he says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But that two part, don't do something from ambition, but count others as more significant. Mm. It's inherently humbling when you honor others, mm-hmm. but you can't do both at the same time. You can't honor yourself and try to honor others, and you can't be humbling somebody and try to stay humble. Mm. I think we have a very self-care, self-exalt, self-build-up culture.
Yeah.
And I wonder what would happen if instead of trying to serve my own needs, I serve others' needs and they're doing the same.
Mm-hmm.
When that happens, I never have to fight for my own honor because I'm getting it from somebody else and vice versa. The reason why we fight for our own honor, though, is because others are not actually giving it to us. So we feel like there's a void.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're constantly being honored by the other, then I don't need to fight for my own. Think about me. Respect. No, they're already doing this, that. And I'm going into the conversation doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. So I think humility and honor go hand in hand. But then honesty is where it all breaks down.
Mm.
Because you can try to honor somebody with lies. And that's flattery.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not actually being honest about what you're honoring. You're just saying what they want you to, what you think they want you to say and what they want to hear so that you can actually serve yourself and your own desires.
Mm-hmm.
But on the flip end, you could go about behind their back and say something that's like not true either. That's gossip.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I think the other side of that is like, you can also build up with lies, but you can also not check them and challenge them
mm-hmm.
with not telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, like, Ephesians 4 says, like, let each one of us speak the truth to our neighbor because we are members mm-hmm. of one another. And I think that there's a void of telling the truth to your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do you do when you actually start to tell the truth? Like, last week, that joint was, like, not good. If he hears that only from a standpoint of, like, challenge, conviction, and almost condemnation, and there's no honor tied to it, it's going to be nothing but defeating.
Mm-hmm.
But if I can, like, honor him as I'm giving him the honest feedback, then there's a reason to receive what's being said. But here's the humility. As soon as I check him, I got to be ready to be checked too, though. And you put those three things together, I literally think hell doesn't have a solution for that problem. Mm-hmm. Like, hell has no scheme against the body of Christ and in relationships, us being honest with each other, humble before one another, and honoring one another. I don't think hell can do anything with it. Because where can he get in?
I think what the enemy does, and you guys have seen this, especially in church world, is one of his goals is to create division.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And he does that in the world. He does that in the church so much.
Yep. Yes.
He hates what you have.
Yes.
Yeah. He hates it. But we've been in church world to see sometimes this part, Satan will do anything to divide you. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to these topics of humility and honor, when you go into that, how do you not become jealous of the fame or the attention one of you is getting? Mm-hmm. Because you've got that little whisper in your ear, oh, he's better than you. He's right. getting more attention. That insecure part riles its, you know, brings its ugly head up. Mm-hmm. How have you dealt with that?
Well, I'm going to ask my wife, like, can you speak to when we did get pregnant with Jonathan? Just the way Ari served you.
Oh, my gosh. I want to cry. Yeah. Don't do
that. Yeah. Well, it's so much, so intricate of a story. But long story short, even through our miscarriages, you were there. So we had gone through a couple miscarriages and we had two miscarriages, pregnant again, and this is, we already had two beautiful kids, so, you know, immediately, you were by my side during the pregnancy test. She was there. Yeah. I didn't want to take the pregnancy test. I was nervous that this was going to, you know, not going to work again. I literally took the pregnancy test, brought it to your house. Or did I take it at your house?
You took it at my house.
I took it at her house. And she read the results for me. Mm-hmm. And, and told us we're going to have another baby. And
I've seen this personally. This can wreck a relationship.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. When one person gets pregnant, you've been trying to get pregnant. Mm-hmm. And your friend gets pregnant. I've seen relationships, it's so painful that I've seen women back out of the situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How did you not do
that? Honestly, Arianisius had seen multiple pregnancies throughout our small group of friends. Yeah. I mean, it was three maybe you had seen already just with our small group of friends.
It was insane. It was crazy because I knew you had started. You were trying to get pregnant. You guys were open to having more children. And immediately when I knew that, I was like, Lord, please let me get pregnant with Brittany. Aww. Please be the greatest thing for us to be pregnant at the same time. Mm. And at the time, I had another friend whose name was Brittany as well, who we were really close with. And like, I was just praying, like, Lord, please let me be pregnant with Brittany. Please let me be pregnant with Brittany. Turns out they two got pregnant at the same time.
Ooh.
And they were the closest females that I had, like the closest friends that I had to me. And in the midst of like infertility in the sense of like not just not getting pregnant, but thinking we're pregnant and not being pregnant, and not getting answers because we couldn't. Mm. Just having bad experiences with doctors and things like that. And so there was a sense of hopelessness in that, but yeah.
I mean, has there been a sense ever, I mean, I don't know, how many years has this been for you
all
guys
of you
to be
been together?
Such good friends?
We said 10,
well, 10
for us.
Because yes. Yes. 10 for marriage.
So
our
you guys, 10
yeah.
years and,
yeah. Yeah.
And then maybe like 4 years? Three, four. Yeah, yep. 4 years.
So. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, has there ever been a time where you hang out or whatever, and then you go home, and the wife or the husband, you say stuff about the others? Where it's like, hey, I can't believe she said that, or I can't believe you said that, or has there ever been like, this thing, and what do you do with it?
For sure there's been, I think, discussions that we have had, and I'm sure they have had, where it's like, I don't know how that went. But usually after the conversation is gone that way, it's like So when do we are we gonna call them?
Yeah.
So
it's time to go FaceTime.
Yeah. So like we'll just be dumb late.
Really?
Dumb late at night. Like we just got away from each other. It's like, I don't know about that. And we like, yo, y'all still up?
Yeah.
And it's just gotta be a FaceTime. I know.
So short accounts, man. You don't let
short
it go.
Accounts. Yeah. I know even me and Meech, like, for sure. Like it's been like next day, like, hey yo, remember that? Like, yeah. What you think about that? And it's all, and I think what she said is so good. It always starts with a question, not a statement.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So because I think oftentimes we get furious before we get curious.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So you build up a whole idea.
Yeah.
And you come into the conversation furious.
Yes.
Yeah.
When really you don't even already built a case.
You built a case.
Yeah, you don't even know the context of what happened.
Yeah.
And so I think it's really important to be like curious before you get furious, because sometimes you just come in curious with a question. You're like, oh snap, that's what that was. All right, okay. That helps me out so much.
No, yeah.
And so I think that's been big. Mm-hmm. But I also think most of the time, this is way more happened. Ike will say something that challenges me. I'll be like, what'd you think about that? And it's more like, yeah, I think you need to lean into that. So that's a lot. That's a lot more our conversations.
Brittany's like, oh, thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Yes. Can we talk about that?
No,
like,
for real.
This is my biggest advice to married people or to women who are married.
Yeah. Let's hear it.
Find other men who can come around your husband.
Yep.
Because if your husband is in isolation, and then you're in isolation. And if Ike is doing something that's like in our marriage, that's kind of like funky.
Bull tripping.
I got two men that I can go to. Like your boy is tripping and I need you to talk to him.
Yep.
Like, or this is going on. Or if I'm tripping, Brittany, this is going on. I said this. Was I messed up? Like, am I crazy? Mm-hmm. Is this a expectation that I should be having on the Lord and not on Ike? Mm-hmm. Like, what's going on? And that's happening. And
that's
if
real.
I don't understand how marriages within the church who don't have this make it, honestly, because these are the people that we depend on. And if you're going through something in your marriage and you're going through it in isolation, now division comes in. Now you can build a narrative against your husband. Now your husband's your enemy. But if you feel like you have a community who's behind you, then that are seeking reconciliation always within each other and with and we thrive when they thrive.
Yeah.
We thrive when he's thriving.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And so we're seeking their thriving. We're not just seeking for them to be well, like for them to be okay. We want them to thrive. And so even as your question about what do we do with, you know, Recap is the more vocal one, the most heard. Because he's gifted. He is amazing. That is what God has called him to do. And we also have this mentality that if he eats, we all eat. And so, so there's that, And so we want to see the Lord, because it's not about us. It's about the Lord. And so the Lord is doing something in Recap. And so we celebrate it. Yeah. We facilitate it. Yeah. We encourage it. We want to help in any way that we possibly can. And the same vice versa. Oh, sorry. Vice versa. And so that doesn't, I'm not saying that the enemy doesn't whisper those things, but it's so quickly
shut
off. But
you won't let him have a foothold.
No, at all. Because there's love and there's trust. Mm-hmm. And there's also we fear the Lord. And it's not about us. It's
and you got to be honest with yourself as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
He's not just the most known or get the most speaking engagements or something like that. He's the best preacher.
Yes.
Mm. I'm not.
Mm.
He is.
Yeah.
So we want to get behind him.
Yep.
Not only, and I don't, when I say best, I do mean he's like technically more skilled, but he's anointed to do this.
And you're anointed to do something else.
Say it again.
You're anointed to do something else.
I'm anointed to do something else.
Yeah.
And how I've been able to receive that and learn that and take ownership is because they told me.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So that's what that whole thing about not having to look for my own honor. They convinced me, no, this is what God has anointed you to do. Yeah. You have this special thing.
And I'm guessing they also told you what you're not good at.
Yeah.
Vice versa. Yeah. This is not your lane. Yeah. This is. Yeah. You have a brother or sister that's honest and saying,
absolutely.
Your mom told you you could sing, but you're going to lose American Idol. You ever see those when they're on American Idol and they're terrible? Oh, like, my mom said I could sing. Yeah, she lied.
Yeah.
But like the saddest part is like that's a show, a game show.
Yeah.
Think about how often that actually happens in the church.
That happens.
Yeah.
Where like the church's excellence comes down because we lying to each other because we're not honest.
Yeah.
We're trying to honor without honesty, which is just flattery. And no funny, like, because I'm be serious, they will say that I still think these two dudes are like some of the best preachers in the world, and I mean that. But you know, I think genuinely, like, I think one thing that we came to the table and started in this church is there's part of it intentionality, but part of it is God's sovereignty. So let me explain that. Like, the intentionality part is like what Pastor Ike was saying, like, yo, just be honest. Be real about who you are. Be real about what other people are.
Mm-hmm.
And you might not be able to see yourself the best, which is why you need other people to see what's good. Mm-hmm. So be intentional. Honor what you see. Mm-hmm. That sister right there is one of, and I'm saying this to real anybody who's hearing, Adenisi's Todd should be known with the, and I'm saying this for myself, Priscilla Shires and all of those folks. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about that kind of gifted as a communicator of the scriptures. She is nice with it. And I listen to a lot of preaching. That's easy to say. Easy to say. That's the most brilliant mind when it comes to theology and creativity that I've ever been around. And I'm pursuing my PhD. I have never, ever in my life, and this is not an exaggeration, I've never in my life been in a classroom and been that blown away like I have with Ike. He just different. He built different. God has just built him. Yeah. He just different, yo. And that's why I'm always quick to say, like, no. That was him who started this. That wasn't my mind. I ain't think of Orlando. I was thinking of New Orlando and care about New Orlando. Like, ain't know nothing about that. No, that was him. Like, when it came to the New Creation Fellowship, why is our church called that? That's him. When it comes to our vision statement, that's him. Like, that dude, his mind is so stinking brilliant. Like, I can't describe it. And this dude next to me was the first guy that I ever came across who had, to me, like, you know, there's voices you can respect and there's voices that you like, and there's voices that you got to respect and you like as well. Mm. He got all of that.
Mm.
Take his singing ability away today now, and he's still a pastor, because he the first dude who was musically gifted but theologically deep.
Yeah.
Knew that text. I mean, he just quoting the whole joint, like Proverbs, Psalms. First time we was talking, I knew he was different because he was quoting Zephaniah. I was like, you quoting Zephaniah, you know what I'm saying?
Me and Britt are old testament people. You know what I'm saying?
Well, like, oh my goodness.
One of my first things I learned.
And my baby, like, people don't know, like, we just made it through Genesis. That was one of our greatest series, I think, just, you know, it was just beautiful. And every Saturday, I'm like, babe, this is my outline. What you thinking? Because she an Old Testament head, have you thought about this? Have you thought about this? And that might be one too many illustrations. And it's just like easy money. When I say she has no desire to play front, she want to play back. She likes back. But she want to play back to the excellent degree. I don't want to just be in the background just sitting there. No, I want to do work back there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Somebody got to be behind the cameras. And yo, when I say, like, when you see who people are, it's beautiful. That's intentionality. Here's sovereignty, though. When Ike came to the church we was in Philly, God blessed me to be able to pour into him.
Mm-hmm.
So part of our story forever is I poured into to Pastor Ike.
Mm-hmm.
When he became this super genius, everybody was shocked. I wasn't, though, because I saw something in that dude day one. Now, here's the crazy thing. Like, I could be like, I got one over you because I poured into you.
Mm.
Quickly could be that. Mm. But that wouldn't be being honest. You're better.
Mm.
You cast vision better. You got more vision. You got way more sight on how this thing's supposed to come together. I don't see it. And I'm going to be so unstable. If that had been me, this church would be so unstable.
Mm-hmm.
The stability, the rock solid conviction of that brother.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it would be foolish for me to be like, just because I want to be the leader. Now think about it though. He's now the vision pastor. Mm. So naturally sovereignty, I got to like come under that. And then here comes.
It's like husband, wife. Which role's more important?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wow. They're equally.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then here comes Pastor Meech with his.
Is he a shepherd?
Like way more than us.
Oh, he's your shepherd.
Like no, like way more than us though.
Yeah, I can like, feel that. All of that.
It's prophetic.
This is why it just can't be me. Because nobody would get shepherd.
That's
No, we don't have that gift either, so I can always feel it when it's in the room.
It's in the room.
Yes.
I don't feel
shepherd, prophetic, administrative, all of those things. God has just blessed him in a tremendous amount of ways.
Yeah.
And if I, it would be so foolish for us to be like, well, we was together before. You don't get a voice. Like, what? You better. He's just better.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy what just happened in the last 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm watching humility, honor, honesty.
Yeah. Yeah.
From what Recap just said about everybody in the room, it's just like, wow, there it is.
Yeah.
You know, you're able to honor and be humble enough to say they're better.
Yeah.
That is something that's really rare.
It's so rare.
And this isn't just, and I want to say, like, this isn't, this speech, we've heard this.
That's what I'm saying. And we all.
So this isn't just because of the podcast. We're not putting this on.
Yeah.
And this is like, each one of us has this speech, our own version of this speech.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And so this isn't.
Because we're just telling the truth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's not even a speech. It's just telling the truth.
It's not
because
none of us can do what Meech does.
Okay, let me ask you this.
The body of Christ.
There's a lot of people do not have this.
Oh, and they want it.
They're watching. They're like, I want that. I've never been able to get that.
Yeah.
How do you help them get that? Because I'm guessing people are watching right now and there's some going, I'm in this. It's beautiful. Or I was in it. It got ugly. And now I'm really hurt.
Jesus.
Or others are like, I've never experienced what you guys are talking about. That's why we're talking about this. We want to help marriages have. You can't do marriage without a community. You guys are modeling it, but help,
I will
help
say,
people that can't find it.
And just your illustration of your husband becoming better with a good friend. I remember it was my birthday. I think it was my birthday. And,
I don't even know what she's going to say.
My best friend's husband is his best friend. So she's like, what did Dave get you for your birthday? I'm like, well, you know, money's tight and he's tight. And Rob comes over.
Can we stop?
And he says, dude, this is your girl. You go all out for your girl. Like, what do you mean you're going to get her little, like, something? I don't even remember what. But he's like, on him. I'm like,
that's what I'm talking about.
Yes, Lord. And you changed. I could have said that all day long.
Yeah.
But when his brother and his best friend says it, you hear it.
Yeah, one night, Rob and I are sitting at a high school basketball game of his daughter. All right, and he's a big time college football kicker at Iowa. He's the all time leading scorer, kicker there. So he's an athlete,
and he's intense.
He's sitting behind, and he's intense, and sharp business guy, and he is going off on this ref so loud it was embarrassing. I'm like, dude, settle down. Whatever. He just kept going. So after the game, I called him. I said, dude, you are an embarrassment to the kingdom of God.
Wow.
You are an embarrassment as a man of God. You embarrassed your daughter because she'd be looking up at you like, Dad, settle down. I'm trying to, he wouldn't hear me. And I just felt like I have to be honest.
Yeah.
And so I just said, dude, that is not how a Christian man acts. I mean, I agree. The ref was terrible. Made terrible calls. That's high school sports. Get used to it. You know? Blah, blah, blah. And I'll never forget, he hung up, didn't really receive it, hung up. And about an hour later, he called back. He said, thank you, brother. You're right. I was a jerk. I was an idiot. I embarrassed everybody. I
apologized.
I mean, it's just that thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so
how do we get that?
How do you get that? Because that doesn't happen without intentionality.
Yep.
When I was young, the only translation.
You are young.
When I was like a baby. Well, funny thing, I'm the oldest of all of this.
Yeah. All right.
And, but I would say when I was growing up, we only read the King James Version. And so there's a lot of King James Version of verses I remember. There was one verse, I forget where it was, but it said, to have friends, show thyself friendly. And I think a lot of times people want something that they are not.
Yeah.
And so let the Lord cultivate in you.
Good word.
Humility.
Yeah.
You be a friend. Mm-hmm. You be a confidant. And then the Lord is just so faithful to reciprocate that. And I think oftentimes we try to get things that we are first not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, like, because there's a lot of work. Like, even my insertion into this friendship group, I had insecurities.
They let you to the table.
Yeah, they really did. Yeah. And it had to be a letting me in the table, and then I had to actually sit at the table.
It's good.
Because it's like, there's insecurities. Oh, we got 10 years and stories and history in Philly and Iowa.
And they're married.
And they're married and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We had so many things that I could have easily allowed my insecurities and not had done the work to be able to sit at that table, which is why I talk to singles, because we are one of the most forgotten people groups in the church, and we actually represent a large percentage of the church. Mm-hmm. I am a pastor who is single. Mm-hmm. And so I need, because again, we'll say marriages need community. No, I need community. Yeah. I need to be their children's uncle. I need to be like their friends. And I've never felt like the third wheel. Mm-hmm. Which is something that's very important as well. It's like, I lived, when I first moved to Florida, I lived with Ike and Ari. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I remember kind of the similar story to Ari. His first conversations with me were kind of like authoritative. And I was kind of like, this man is bold.
Like, that
when,
is.
When
that,
I say, yeah, no, like, when I say, like, I'm single.
Different.
Like, single. By that time, I had been living on my own for almost 20 years. it's kind of like, I remember him saying, so God called you to Florida? I'm like, yeah. Yeah. He was like, so you going to wait in Alabama? Yeah. That's what it looks like. Then he was like, well, why don't you wait in Florida? Possibility. Are you going to pray for manna? And then humility.
Yeah.
He said, no, I'm offering a bedroom.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I got to see Aries, like, hospitality that reminded me of, like, how I grew up. Mm. I grew up with a grandmother that... we never had our own house. It's like people were always there. And how she was even like, have you eaten? Do you have food? I'm kind of like, sis, I've been an adult for like 20 years. But no. I saw that as like that's my sister. Like they, and even like they didn't hide. It was just like they were just who they were. Like I was invited in the actual house. It was like, yeah, they were married. They had their own life and stuff. But I really did feel incorporated. Mm-hmm. And I have a, I don't have to call and say I'm headed there.
Yeah.
With all of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that is huge. Like that's huge. Knock and show up. And that stuff is so important, especially for those of us who are single. We need to see this. Like I need to be reminded of the selflessness that we see in marriage. And then I would think they would need to be reminded of the sufficiency that's in Christ from a person that don't have the horizontal affirmation. I have it vertically, and there is something to that. Yeah. I had intimidations with both of them having great fathers. I like all of them having, you know, it's like I had those intimidations because my story was not the same.
Yeah.
But I had to like do the work personally to be able to have a seat at the table. And I've been corrected by them, challenged by them. Hey, you're too independent. You're right. I'm trying to work on it. Yeah. Little things like that, that I think people don't like. It sounds nice and it sounds sweet and the podcast sounds really cool. But like the actual work to be in that kind of relationship is the same with Christianity. Yeah. You have to die.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. You have to pick up your cross and follow the Lord Jesus, even in friendships. And we don't, I think the church is undertaught friendship.
Mm.
When Jesus is talking about unity, when he was like, that they may be one, like we are one. Pastor Ike said something in one of his sermons that I will never forget.
So dope.
He said, can Jesus get his prayer request answered? Again, brilliant. I'm literally, that Sunday, I said, oh.
From the back, like,
oh, the son of God can get his prayer request?
Yeah. And I think us doing the hard work, it's bloodshed. Yeah. Like, it's uncomfortable conversations. One night, we had a conversation that was 6-7 hours into the midnight hours, like talking about what are your insecurities, what are your fears, what are your things.
So you're real.
No, it's actually real.
Yeah.
We're not hanging out. We're fellowshipping.
Yeah. That's, yeah. And I was going to say, I think that we, as a church, we can kind of, this idea of like, well, how do people do this? Like, how do you enter into this relationship? We can overcomplicate it in a sense, like literally pick somebody and be committed to them. Literally, because it's pick a couple and you can get into like, well, they don't like the same things that I don't like, or they do things differently, or I don't know if you know, we have kids, they don't have kids. We didn't have kids for the majority of our relationship, all of that. But if you're committed to the relationship, if you are, I'm not leaving this table, regardless of your messiness in my organization or your lifestyle or whatever, or what you like, it doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, we know, we see it as Jesus is at work within whatever family unit is that you're anticipating getting into a relationship. And so if Jesus is there, if Jesus is at work, however it is that they live their life, they have something that I need in order for me to know Jesus better, because Jesus is at work in their life in a way that it's not at work in my life. And so therefore, I don't care if they like to go to Disney every single weekend and I like to stay at home and read a book. I am willing to enter into that lifestyle because I understand that Jesus is at work there and I need that.
And what if those people that like, I want this, but they're not willing to be humble or honest? You know, what if they're not in the, they don't have the three H's. What was the other one? Humility, honesty, and honor. Yeah. So what if they aren't willing to be honest?
Yeah, then you're going to have a fake unity. Yeah.
Right. So do you just have that conversation?
Yeah, I think the beautiful thing is prayer. Like, I talk all the time to folks, because I love the scripture so much, but I always remind people, I am not a disciplined reader. I've always hated reading. God gave me a delight in the scriptures that I did not have. And if God can grant you something that you don't have in terms of desire, then he can grant you what you don't have in terms of desire. And so this desire for friendship, I think it begins on your knees. Like, Lord, I actually want what they're talking about. Like, I actually want that.
And
like,
I go get it.
Like, and Lord, I show me how to partner with you in running after who you've already placed in front of me. And I actually think for most listeners, God already put somebody on your mind and your heart. This is the scariest part of prayer, though. Many people already have somebody who they would call friends, but they're hearing this like, this don't sound like us. The scariest thing is like, why? And I ask the Lord why. And oftentimes it is because you haven't crossed over into the, like through that awkward barrier where you've had to challenge each other and it had to go 5 hours and you can't leave the table. You haven't gone. And those things are intentional. And we could have let it sit too. We could just let it be mad and just.
You would prefer to not get into it.
Oh, yeah.
Who wants to fight? Who wants to
do that?
Hey,
we
got to
do it again, y'all.
And come up with my own narrative and just sit in my own bitterness and anger.
Absolutely.
It feels good. It's righteous. It's great. Like, this isn't fun. Like, you know,
until you're lonely.
Until you're lonely. That's good.
But I mean, in some ways, what I'm hearing is that's the honesty part. Because if you don't go there, when you know you feel it or think it, you're not being honest. You're holding something. Maybe you get in the car and you talk to your wife, and that's not honest because you're talking about some of your best friends, but you're not willing to look them in the eye. Yeah. The first men's group I tried to get in Detroit when I first moved to Detroit, way before you guys were ever born. I moved to Detroit to be Detroit Lions chaplain. I knew nobody, and I didn't have a church. I hadn't started. 5 years later, I would start a church. So I knew I need community. We all know that scripturally, you know, and I need men. So I found these guys in this other church that I sort of attended. They meet on whatever. So I go, start meeting with them three or four. And I was like, the whole time, like, I don't think anybody's here is getting really honest. They're just being nice. And you can just,
you can feel
and so
it.
I'm not kidding. It was like fourth or fifth week. And I still don't know them very well. And I've told this here before, but I remember I walked in and at some point I said, hey, and I think it was like six guys. I said, I got to be honest with you. I struggled this week with something. And they're like, what's that? I go, the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue came. My wife always gets it before I see it, and I never see it, and it was in the mailbox, and I opened it up, and I looked at it for a minute, and I was wrong, and I told my wife, but I just need to say that to you guys. And I am not kidding. The room went like this. Are you kidding me? I'm like, what? You looked at it? Yeah, not long, but yeah, I did. And that's why I'm saying it. I shouldn't have done it. I go, you guys, anybody here ever struggled? Never. We never look at that. We would never consider that. I can't believe you. What kind of man are you?
I mean, back in the day when the church wasn't honest.
This was like,
who are these humans?
Exactly. So I got in the car, I drove home, and I said, that's not my group.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know why? I thought they're not being honest. I don't know. Wow. Maybe they're perfect men. I'm guessing they were hiding something. And I started looking for other groups. And part of me is like, one of the lessons there was sometimes it doesn't work. The first group you find, find it. Because I found my guys. One of them was Rob. One of them was John. One of them was, they were my guys for 30 years. I did all their kids' weddings as their pastor. But sometimes it's like, this isn't an honest group. And they're not going to be. They're not going to go there. So obviously you're talking about an honesty that's raw.
Yeah.
You know what you just said was actually a great point. It's like,
did you hear that? I said something great.
He said an amazing point. And I think for those of us who are Christians, we can have like an over-romanticized view of each other as if we are not imperfect humans. And sometimes friendships just don't work.
Yeah.
Like
sometimes they don't.
Like, I learned, here's the interesting thing. A lot of my earlier friendship, what we even call failures, I don't even know if it's a failure, it's just life. It's like friendships that I had, I've learned from every single friendship I've ever had. And that has been brought into this friendship. Because again, we bring who we are into the group. And it's like, had I not remembered like, ooh, last time, Demetrius, you actually stored something in your heart for like 3 months and it turned into accusation and all of this other kind of stuff. I'm finna take the opportunity to be like, no, we getting this stuff done quick. Because when you hold on to that stuff, our God is so much about truth.
Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't let the devil have a foothold.
Absolutely.
But watch this. Watch this. If I have a friendship that doesn't quite work out, and I still am carrying bitterness toward them. Now I come to my friends.
Absolutely.
And I'm getting things off my chest. And if they support that, then we just, it's all types of division.
Now it's gossip.
Now it's gossip and all, and that's what's creating our friendship. That's not friends.
That's not friends.
That is literally like that trauma bonding.
That's trauma
bonding. Yeah, that's that trauma bonding.
So what do you do with that?
Yes.
We got to check that.
You've got a thing with somebody.
So I know you got to get this off your chest to some degree. You have to be human and complain about what your frustration.
Yeah.
So you do it. And I listen. All right, cool. Did you talk to him?
Simple question.
Yes. I have literally had Pastor Meach tell me, you've got 2 weeks to talk to this person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Okay.
Real talk.
And I had to talk to this person.
Yeah.
I vented, I shared. Am I crazy? Like, am I not? You need to go talk to them. So I humbly obeyed, honored, and did what they told me to do because I trust these individuals.
And that's the key because most people, or I should say a lot of times, that's the thing. People are unwilling to go to someone and have a conversation. Yeah.
It's hard.
It's very hard.
It can be hard. And it can be awkward. It can be all the things.
Be isolated. It's very easy.
Yeah.
That's good, Pastor Ike. And you wouldn't have done that if you didn't care about our sanctification.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, I care about, we care about each other's holiness. I remember I had some strange stuff going on for a season. And Recap was like, yeah, you need to apologize to this person. He literally told me to find a fault. Now, for me, I'm like my therapist who I've been with for 5 years. God bless you so much. He has been very beneficial in this friendship group as well. And they've never met him. But literally, he was telling me, like, Demetrius, you have like an internal lawyer And that's a part of that prophetic stuff. It's either black or white. It's right or wrong. There is no gray area. Then we go through Genesis. I'm like, there's a lot of gray area. And I started giving myself nuance. I started giving myself. And then, because again, that goes back to the point. When you start receiving the love of God and his patience, and then you start being patient with yourself, then you start being patient with other people.
Yes.
When you receive correction from the Lord, you start being honest with yourself, and then you can be that with other people. And Recal was like, find fault and just take extreme ownership. I'm like, absolutely not. And then a couple of days later, I sent the voice note and was like,
oh, it was quicker than that.
You know, it was quicker than that. It was like, because again, I was like, the evil one would not tell me to do that. Sometimes we got to weigh the things we hear.
Yeah.
The evil one, you know, I didn't have to pray about that.
That's so
because
good,
that was literally what the scriptures would say.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, I had to learn that. I remember one time, Britt, we were having a conversation. It was like we were playing a game, and then the conversation got turned
tense.
And Britt don't call nobody out. So day she called me out, I was like, "Sis is right." I'm not even giving her a rebuttal because she don't call
you
nobody
call silent
out.
Assassin,
like, she's a silent assassin that silences people.
Yes, yes.
She don't say a lot,
it's
but
really true.
When she does. But and I would also say, like, there's also the correction that happens just by living life with these with each other.
That's
there has
so
been
good.
Like there have been times like so I just being around Brittany, I don't even have to ask. Like the Lord will convict me on so many things on how I love my husband and how I even like parent Lily and her 10 months old, you know, and my patience and my relationship with the Lord and just her being herself. She'll just talk about this missionary that she's reading about and how it's convicted her or how she loves. I have been in a room with her and all four of her children are crawling all over her, asking for her attention while she's having a conversation with me, and she never loses it. And I'm just like, how? How do you do this? And it's so convicting. I've seen her submit and love and honor and encourage her husband on so many levels, and I am always convicted. And she doesn't have to open her mouth or say anything. It's just the way she lives her life.
That's the mutual discipleship that happens.
You know, just being around them. He talks about me being a communicator of the word. I wouldn't be that had it not been for the time that I've spent with him. My whole understanding, I come from, now we're going to say bad words, but you know, I come from egalitarian background and all that kind of stuff. And my understanding of women's roles and gender roles, Meech had spoken such a profound word that broke like a wall for me. And it's just because of being around them. And so it's just living life that has just changed us and has made us like, that's where a lot of the correction even happens.
Absolutely.
It doesn't have to be these deep conversations. It's just living life, having conversation.
Yeah. All right. I've got a question. In fact, it's such a good question. We're going to make this part of the bonus material.
Okay.
We have people that support Family Life financially. We call them monthly partners or financial Family Life partners. It's any amount monthly, but they're in the club. And it's not a club. It's a partner. It's an army.
It's a family.
That says we want to support this.
That's
and
awesome.
So if you're not supporting us, the podcast ends. Sorry. But you can give $10 right now, and you're going to hear this unbelievable question that I just came up with. Now you're like, okay, I want to know the question.
I know.
Let's jump back in. What could this look like with singles? Because I feel like the conversation so often can go to the married couple.
Yeah.
But in the church, what could that look like for a woman to encourage a man or a man to encourage a woman?
Or singles to be a part of something with you're a part of.
Yes. Absolutely.
This is really rare.
Ironically, in 2025, that conversation has so much tension just because of what's been going on in our culture. But the purity of it, I've been blessed to have incredible sisters in the faith. I call them my Mary and Marthas, where it's like I've been encouraged, I've been uplifted, prayed for. And even for me, like some of my biggest champions are like my sisters, like Pastor Meech, you're anointed. Like God has called you to this and done that because it, and I think the cross gender friendships are super important, super important in the body of Christ, but we also just got to have wisdom and boundaries and purity. There are things that, impurity. There are things as a single man that I don't even do with my sisters here who I love deeply. There are boundaries and we don't like that B word, but it's like there are things that we do to help. I see it as protecting my sisters and then them protecting me. Like I remember one of my single friends, the moment she started dating, our friendship changed. The moment, and in a good, healthy way, was what I'm saying. And engaged, married. And I remember when the guy came into the picture, it was almost like, you're quoting like this Demetrius a lot. You know, kind of. and the thing was, I was like, oh, bro, like, he and I, now we're brothers. And it's like I sang them, you know, down the aisle and stuff like that. And it's like it's intentional, it's godly, it's pure. And even to this day, you know, even in this circle, you know, I remember Recap one day was like, yo, bro, like encourage Britt, you know, like you encourage Eric. And I've gotten to encourage my sisters and all of that kind of stuff, yet with boundaries. And it's not even weird amongst them. And we need it. We need cross-gender friendships, but we must do so in a godly manner, in a respectful manner. Because I think oftentimes when you do the whole, like, you're fighting for something outside of, like, respecting godly boundaries, that's when it can cross the line.
That's good.
And I would also add, I'm so sorry, because you asked for single ladies in the church and how they can encourage, and this just came to mind. If I shouldn't say this, edit it out, please. Don't date them to salvation. Connect them with somebody, another male. If you see men in the church, motivate and encourage them to be connected instead of you being the connection. We see that just way too much. I just felt like it needed to be said.
And I, to that point, the point I was going to make is like, since we talked about the idea of submission, like, it's important that we understand that submission isn't a woman thing. Christ submitted himself to the Father.
And to Mary
And to his his own parents that he created, by the way. So submission isn't like a woman thing. Otherwise our Messiah wouldn't have done it. And I think far too often we only think of submission as a woman thing, which is why husbands don't know how to pastor their wives into a desire to submit because we've never done it ourselves. You don't, if you've never had to look a dude in the face who's telling you, no, you're not going to go over here, but you're going to go pray for the next 2 hours. If you never had to like hear a dude say you, I need you to go find fault. And take ownership of what you, if you've never had to say yes when you wanted to say no to an earthly figure, but you're demanding it out of your wife, you're going to demand it in a different way. But when you've had to do it yourself and you know what it's like, man, all of us have had men that we've had to say, yo, if they tell me, unless I know it's violating scripture, even if I don't understand it, my yes is on the table because I trust them. That's what submission is. It's an entrusting and coming under. And it's like, if you haven't done that yourself, ain't no way you should be leading a woman to do that. So I would say for the brothers, like, nah, don't just let submission be their thing. Like, find some dudes to submit to.
Because it's not a power trip.
No, it's not.
It's a servant's
Absolutely.
Heart.
Absolutely. And it's something we need. God rigged it to where we need shepherds. And so, like, yo, like, I, like, these brothers, like, I, they can tell me no. And I gotta be like, okay. Like, that's a crazy thing. And we all got the same swag. Like, nah, like, no, nobody gonna tell me nothing. All of us come with that. And we literally, like, that's all it is.
Fine, fine.
But yeah, I think dudes learning how to submit will, I think, be great help for even the ladies who are coming out.
What a way to end.
Wow.
Seriously, thank you. This has been rich. You know what I was thinking, how we should end? Why don't you sing us out, man?
That'd be amazing.
You got something?
Okay. He always is.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Oh, that was so good.
There you go, Eddie.
Man, I want to be at your table. Hey, thanks for watching. And if you like this episode,
you better like it.
Just hit that like button.
And we'd like you to subscribe. So all you got to do is go down and hit the subscribe. I can't say the word subscribe. Hit the subscribe button.
I don't think I can say this word.
Like and subscribe.
Look at that. You say it so easy. Subscribe. There it goes.